It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to The Untold Story, and we have a really special edition today because we're having a conversation with the author of the bestseller, Saved, and it's an incredible story, A War Reporter's Mission to Make It Home by Benjamin Hall, Fox News war correspondent, State Department correspondent, and we're also speaking with his wife, Alicia, who's joining us from London, who's obviously just a huge part of this tragic but amazingly inspirational story that they have been part of throughout this. And I just want to actually start, Ben, with a question to you. And sort of one of the things that really struck me about the documentary, which everyone should see, it's beautifully produced and really well done. What was your reaction when you watched it, when you saw the whole story put together?
I think, first of all, it reminded me of how much had gone on behind the scenes to get me out, the incredible team effort, the people who came in to save me, the doctors around me, the people at Fox was amazing. But it was a real roller coaster because it takes you up and down. It takes you through the really tragic moments, and then it takes you through these really inspirational moments as well. And watching it was very difficult, and I will admit that when I saw it yesterday, I cried, which I don't do very often. So I felt about it, and I felt it a lot. And also it remembers Pierre and Sasha very well, and it paints a picture of what incredible people they are as well. So I'm in awe of the people here who put that together.
Yeah, and it's great to point that out because it really does go into Pierre's story and his wife's story and what a special couple they were. I had the great privilege to work with him many times in London, and he was exactly as you describe him. I was in not scary places. You guys were in scary places together, so it was more fun than danger. But he was always just so pumped for whatever story it was. And, you know, what are we going to do? Where do we want to go? And just it's hard to really think of him as not being here anymore.
It is. And I know for a fact that he would want us every day to wake up with a smile on our face, to go and live the best lives we could. And he wouldn't want for a second for us to feel sad or down about it. Remember him, try to be more like him, act like he would have acted. And I know that's what he'd want us to do.
Alicia, what was it like for you to watch this documentary and to see the story all put together and to relive it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as Benji said, it was a complete roller coaster. First of all, I am a crier, so I'm always welling up at most things that I see when it comes to this story in particular, just because there were so many amazing people involved. And then obviously losing Pierre and then the people that he's left behind. So obviously I've become quite friendly with Michelle since this has all happened. So it's it was absolutely beautifully done. I think it's a real credit to Fox Nation. They made everyone just exactly who they were, I think. I was really, really, I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, our producers are excellent. I mentioned Miriam and Brianna
really
and Dan. They are just, you know, so sensitive, I think, to this story and to telling it accurately. And with respect and with love for all of you and everyone involved, one of the things that I said, Ben, if I watch it again or I read the book again, I think I would still be afraid that you're not going to make it to the train on time. It is such an unbelievable sequence of events that get you on that train. And I remember covering that story about the Polish prime minister and the Slovenian prime minister, I believe, the three of them going in. And that was extraordinary in that moment because it was an incredibly chaotic, dangerous time. What do you remember about the ride to that train, and how aware were you of how close it was that you might miss it?
Well, I mean, I didn't know that many details on the evacuation. I knew we had to get to the train. I knew that time was of the essence, and I was in and out of consciousness, and I had no pain meds at that time as well, so that whole journey started to get more and more painful as the few meds started to wear off. But I remember each checkpoint we stopped at, the Ukrainians came out, everyone out of the ambulance, guns out at everyone, checking my wounds to make sure we weren't a Russian hit squad coming in.
They were poking in your wounds.
Mm.
I can't imagine.
And then just finally being carried onto that train, you know, in this almost like a bedsheet. And just remember, all I had to do is survive. go home, just grit it, no matter what it takes. That's what you got to focus on. And finally, I made it to the other end 10 hours later and went to some really difficult places on that trip. And I write about them in the book as well. So that was probably one of the hardest. But as soon as we crossed over into Poland, there was a Black Hawk waiting. You know, the US military was there. And I felt at that point as we took off that I was saved, you know. And but that was a life and death journey, that one.
Alicia, how aware were you during that? You know, how I know you spoke to Alicia when you were on the train, I believe, on the phone at some point. But what was it like for you waiting for him to get
through? So I had no idea what was going on. Well, I didn't know. I knew nothing. I think I remember speaking to Benji's bureau chief in London and asking that question because I started to get quite concerned that obviously they'd stabilized him and, you know, we felt like we were through one, you know, element of the evacuation as such, but no one had mentioned getting him out. And we could see from the news that, you know, it was just being bombarded. And if we didn't get him out now, I didn't know, it didn't matter if he'd survived the operations because how are we going to get him out? And so all of this was going on behind the scenes. I had no idea until I got the call. I got a text message from Suzanne of just the video of the Black Hawk going up into the air. And I remember seeing that, and he said that, and she just said, he's out.
Oh my gosh.
That feeling, because it was so top secret that no one knew, I think, apart from the people who were directly involved, and I'm forever grateful for them. And I remember thinking at the time, I think Dragon said to me, who's Ben's bureau chief in London, he said, I'm so sorry that we couldn't tell you what we were doing. And I was like, my goodness, you got him out. That's the only thing that mattered. Forever grateful.
What do you remember about that liftoff? Because it's such an emotional moment when you see that Black Hawk take off.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I remember thinking I'm saved. And I remember thinking my father had also been saved by American forces in the Second World War. He was rescued. And then I thought, I've always really wanted to ride in a Black Hawk with the doors open.
Ben.
And I thought,
the rest of us would be like,
I thought, this is great. So, I mean,
I knew that's what he would be thinking as well. That's like when he called me to say that he was out, like the glee in his voice for someone who has just lost his leg and, you know, has shrapnel coming from everywhere. It's just like, yeah, amazing.
You know, one of the many things that struck me, Alicia, was when you were relieved when you heard that Ben had lost his leg.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think your benchmark changes very, very quickly when you're first initially told that someone is basically going to die. And then your next call, because it was quite close succession. So I got the call at about 4 o'clock saying that he was critical and he was going into surgery. And then I got the next call at about 2 a.m., and Suzanne Scott was straight away, he's out of surgery and he's fine, but he's lost a leg. And I just remember this being like, oh my goodness. Oh, that's absolutely fine. We can deal with that. Like we're okay. We could deal with no leg. And I remember even thinking now, I never asked about any of the other injuries. I think you're so in the moment that you're just going, it's just step by step every way. And all you're doing is just trying to get through to the next step. And so you ask very few questions and you're just being fed information, which is quite an unusual situation to be in, I think, as well.
And you didn't tell the girls anything, really, until when?
No.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, the game plan with Benji would have told them straight away because I think he in his head was absolutely fine. But I obviously had seen, you know, at Landstuhl how he looked. And my game plan with that was that until I felt comfortable telling them that Daddy's had an accident, but he's going to be fine, I didn't want to say anything to them because I never wanted them to kind of pick up any worry in my voice or be upset themselves. And my priority was that when I told them, I wanted to make sure that they felt completely at ease with it and not to be, you know, remotely concerned. And I remember saying to Honor, and who was sitting in the front seat, we were driving home from school, and I said, but you know, by the way, just to let you know, Daddy's had a little bit of an accident and he's not going to come home for a while, but he's going to be absolutely fine. And she looked quite concerned and taken aback, and I just looked at her and I said, does Mummy look worried? And she said no, and I said, well then you don't need to be worried, do you? And she's like, okay, no, that's fine. And that was it. So I think as long as everyone around them wasn't worried, they then picked up on that was the aim, hopefully.
The Untold Story continues right after this.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on foxnewspodcast.com.
I remember that part of the book, Alicia, and you have just done every form of acrobatic emotional gymnastics to keep calm and to make sure that your girls didn't feel stressed, because I always feel like, you know, even when you try to keep it in, your children always sense if something's wrong, right? But it seems like somehow you were able to convince them that everything was going to be okay. And so I'm wondering, when in your private moments, you know, how did you deal with all of this while you're trying to keep on such a strong face for them?
Do you know what? I actually did feel that once, because Benji was so strong throughout, and this is why I think we were such it was lucky we were such a good team, is that because he was so effortlessly positive, that reverberated onto me, and as a result reverberated onto the children. And so that's what made it work. I think if Benji hadn't been the way he was, it would have been a very different scenario. We all worked off each other, and I think that's really what made it kind of work. And then I also did my research. I asked a lot of questions. And I think that's, another thing. Like, I had a really good friend of mine who came over the next day. And she's, like, a real, like, you know, get things done kind of person. And I was in a real kind of frenzy. I really didn't know what to do. I'm not, you know, this was not my world at all. I knew nothing about military doctors or injuries or, you know, never even heard of lounge stool before. And she just sat me down and said, you've got to understand what's going on. And so she called her friend who was in the military, who put me in touch with a trauma surgeon in the military, who put me in touch with somebody else. And they all just talked me through it. And that's, I think, what, you know, made me feel so much calmer, is we had a plan. I think it's the same way Joe Alderetti, when Benji landed in Bampsie, the first thing he said to Benji was, you know, don't worry, we have a plan. And I think if you have a plan, you can almost get through most things, because you can just keep slowly, methodically working through where you need to go next.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that is, I think, so inspirational in the book, Ben, are just these groups of people all along the way who seem to care nothing for anything except helping you, and I'm sure, and they help other people all the time. You know, what was that like for you to feel like, okay, I have to let go and I've got to help these people get me through this?
I think we take it for granted how many people are out there just doing incredible acts of kindness for everyone else. And now I'm really aware of that now. I've seen it up close. But they do this every day for a whole lot of patients, a whole lot of people. And it's something that I want to keep doing myself. But I'm grateful for them, I suppose. And I remember in Launchdoor when they said, we've got to take off your foot. We're going to take off this much of your foot. What do you need? And I remember at that point saying, whatever you think is best. Like, I'm in your hands. Yeah. You are the experts. Like, I can't answer that. I trust you 100%. And I never saw any operations that were coming up in a bad way. I saw them really positively. Each operation was getting me better, was getting me home. And I've never been afraid of any of the operations, because I thought of them as really positive things. Each one was going to be good for me. Each one was getting me better. And I was going to let them decide it. When I did see Joe Alderetti for the first time, I landed on the C-17 in San Antonio. One of the first things he said, he looked at me and he said to his fellow doctor, he said, "Ah, this isn't that bad."
And that must have been very
encouraging. That moment, I thought, all right, then this is fine. So they put you at ease. And they've handled with hundreds of people who have lost a lot worse than I have. I think I'm really lucky. And so
And you really feel it, I think, when you've got those people around you, don't you, Benji? You really feel that you trust them completely, because you know that they're complete experts. And
there's nothing more reassuring, right, than a doctor or a nurse who comes into a room and says, like, hey, okay, this is what we're going to do today. Yeah. And it's just such a gift, I think, to have that, to be able to give that to people, I think is so extraordinary. Just in closing, I just want to ask you guys about your relationship and how it's changed because of all of this. Who wants to take that one first?
I just don't think it has changed, really. Has it? I mean, the physicality of what we can and can't manage during the days has changed a bit. But the relationship between you and I is probably closer. And I think one of the nurses said that when Benji was at Landstuhl. The first thing she said to me, she's like, this will change your relationship for the better. It makes you so incredibly close. And that's absolutely the truth. I think Benji's, you know, I'm really grateful that he trusted me to make as many decisions as I could on his behalf when he couldn't. Do you think it's changed, Benj?
I mean, I think it's gotten far stronger. I think that I know we can do, and I knew it before, but like we have gone through the worst, the worst thing that can happen, and we came through with flying colors, you know, and we were there together every step of the way. We haven't disagreed on anything. We agreed, we listened to each other, we heard what the other one wanted to say, and we went to it together. And that's how it's been the whole time. And just to know that you've got that utmost faith in someone, and whatever decision they make, you know is the right one. And like I've said it time and again, but when you get married, you say in sickness or in health. We've been put through that, and we've come right through it. So, you know, I never went home thinking this is going to be... I was a bit nervous at first, but I never thought this is going to be a different life or the relationship will be different. I always felt the same. I felt the same love with her that I was
And our priorities
beforehand.
Were so aligned as well. I think we just both prioritised keeping our family unit together, and that was, on the advice of Sarah Varado. Because she basically said to me, if you uproot your family and you all go and watch Benji recover, you're going to cause absolute turmoil for the children. And then you're dealing with a whole set of other problems. You know, you need to almost treat this as a boot camp. And, you know, he gets better, you keep the unit together, and then you all reconvene as you were to an extent.
She's a wise woman.
Advice.
She had
I'm
a
so
lot
grateful
of,
for that advice.
She's incredible.
She
Sarah Varado. She had amazing advice for you guys and really engineered so much of the evacuation. And I mean, I don't want to give away the whole thing because the documentary is so extraordinary. But in closing, you guys met when you were 6 years old.
We went to school together when we were very young and then didn't see each other for many years after that. And Alicia came up to me one day in the streets in London and recognized me and asked who I was. And I pretty much fell in love then. And then
our stories vary there a little bit.
I
spent 2 years chasing her after that, so I thought everything was going well.
Alicia, what's your recollection of that story?
I mean, it was a lot more flippant, and I just remember I was having dinner opposite, and he was outside with a mutual friend of ours who introduced us, and then I recognised his name when our friend introduced us. And I was like, oh, we went to school together. And I kind of like then just kind of went off to my dinner. And I think Benji was in his head. He's like, I told him that I had a crush on
the
him.
World and all this kind of
stuff.
I'm actually
stopped.
Saw him from afar. The world stopped. Slow motion. She came over to me.
Right.
That's how I remember it.
But apparently he had a moment.
There you
like,
go.
Oh, okay, I think this is somebody
lucky
I'm going to have.
Thank goodness he did.
Yeah. Well, you guys are so inspiring to all of us. We're all so grateful for Ben's recovery, and we look so forward to having him continue on our team. And I know you're going to have great things ahead. And Alicia, thank you for being with us today. I know you never asked for.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
This kind of. You know, public life and conversation, but I do think it's so inspiring to people, your story. And it's you've bumped Prince Harry off, Ben, off the bestseller list. So
well, yes, we did. I mean,
and two completely
spare,
opposite
but you're
kind of
saved and you're much more princely in most of our opinions. So it's great to be with you both. Thank you so much, Alicia and Ben.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Untold Story with Martha McCallum. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Make sure to rate and review. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with the Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
saved. A war reporter's mission to make it home is Benjamin Hall's gripping memoir. He was on the front lines of the war in Ukraine when tragedy struck.
Our correspondent Benjamin Hall was injured while news gathering in Ukraine. Two of our co-workers have died. Cameraman Pierre Zakshevsky and journalist Alexandra Kushinova.
Now, Benjamin Hall is detailing his ground-level view on the atrocities of war. Saved. A war reporter's mission to make it home. Order today at foxnewsbooks.com or wherever books are sold. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.